Joe Coyote.
Cody Coates. It's good to be back.
I know. I missed talking to you every week.
I know. 1 week, we miss 1 week, and it threw me off. It threw me. I had mixed feelings of guilt for not doing a show, but then we were celebrating 4th of July weekend, but I'm glad to be back. So much to talk about.
Yeah, so last week, we ended the show talking about creepy Google, right?
Yes, we did.
So I never had thought about it. And then the other day, I got an email from Google saying, it was from Google Plus, saying, hey, do you know these people? And it brought up the two strangest people that I don't have any idea how Google knows that I know these people. It is some guy who lived on my floor freshman year.
Wow.
Who I'm friends with on Facebook, but don't interact with him outside of that. And then my ex-boyfriend's ex-boyfriend was the other suggestion.
Weird.
So creepy. And I just saw it and I was like, how does Google know that I know these two people? I don't send them emails. I'm not friends with them on Google Plus, which they're trying to suggest. It's kind of creepy.
My only guess is that at some point, Facebook may have sent you an email. It may have been dropped in your spam, but at some point that could have happened, and it gleaned that data, which is crazy. The fact that it did that, say it took it from one single email and is now suggesting these people. But yeah, that is the power of Google at its finest.
You asked why people thought Google was creepy. There you go. So some more follow-up and continuing my complaints of Apple TV and how terrible the UI is and how terribly it needs to be updated. So holiday weekend, you know, I had that extra Friday off, and so I was playing some Destiny on the Xbox.
Nice.
And then I, you know, having some fun, I swapped over and I started watching something on Amazon Instant Video, and then I was like, let me watch a couple episodes of Good Wife, and then I was going to go back to playing Destiny. Swap back to Destiny, everything's all right. And then I go to swap back to Amazon Instant Video after a little while. It picked up exactly in the episode where I left off and just started auto-playing. This is after like hours of being in another app, swapping to other apps, come back to Amazon Instant Video, it picks up right where I left off in the middle of the episode.
That's fantastic.
I was just like, this is great. Apple TV can't even remember if I search for something in Hulu and then I go to Netflix or I go to iTunes. It doesn't even know what I searched. I have to retype the whole thing. I am so excited for a new Apple TV UI. The frustrations are just driving me crazy. And then I see things like this on like Xbox and I'm like, I want something like this from Apple.
I mean, to spoil further ahead in our topic list, I did buy an Amazon Fire TV stick, which we'll talk about later. And there are these little touches, these little nice touches and things that certain applications do that seem to be so easy to implement that you're kind of baffled as to why Apple did not implement them any sooner than it has, because it's had plenty of time to give software updates to the third gen Apple TV. And I'm really excited. And I don't know if you had a chance to read an article that I put out this week, but I made a case for Apple not putting out the next Apple TV and calling it Apple TV, but putting it out as Apple Home. And the reason that I think they should rename it to Apple Home, just to give you the gist of the article, is that I think that they want to take over your entire living space, and I think it's going to start in the living room, but it's going to expand, and I think that they can use technologies like iBeacons and HomeKit to talk back to the Apple Home, which would be the set-top box in your living room, and I think it could do nifty things with Siri Proactive. I'll put a link of the article in the show notes. I don't know. I mean, not to get off on a tangent, but what would you think about that if they renamed it and they made it more of like a smart connected home type device?
Well, I think it has to be the smart connected home type device. I think that's what everyone's expecting. I mean, I know I am, but I don't know if they can lose the branding of Apple TV. I mean, it fits in with their current Apple Music, Apple Watch, but like, do they want to lose that branding of Apple TV, even though it's going to be connected to your TV? I don't think they will. I think it'll just be the new Apple TV and will act as a, I think it's too close to be a new name, and they're going to lose some branding, but we'll see. I mean, isn't there supposed to be, I think I saw a rumor the other day about a new event coming up soon, sometime.
I haven't heard, but that'd be great. I mean,
man, I'd hope it's Apple TV.
Yeah, I mean, that would, listen, if they were really serious about it, maybe they would put it in a separate event, and not, you know, not wait till September, for the, you know, the rumored iPhone 6S, 6S Plus release. But yeah, I look forward to it. And in the meantime, I look forward to playing with my Fire TV stick. But before we get into that, you kind of mentioned last episode, you gave us a little teaser that you finally received your coin in the mail. And before you go into your review, just to give the listeners a little background on Coin, Coin is a Kickstarter-backed product, and it is a credit card-sized shaped credit card, but it can hold digitally multiple cards so that you don't have to carry multiple cards with you. And it had a series of delays on Kickstarter. And
years of delays.
Years of delays. It was a real problem. It was a real mess. And then Apple Pay came out. But Cody, you've now had the coin. I want to hear about the setup. I want to hear about the, you know, the way you've used it. So give us the whole review here.
So I got it. It comes in a nice little white box. You get a little card giving you instructions on how to set it up and a little reader. It looks just kind of like the, you know, the square headphone jack readers. Get one of those. And then you get the black coin, which is just a little credit card, but it has a button on the front and a little, I guess it like e-ink display. So setting it up, you have to download the Coin app. So I went to the App Store, searched Coin. Surprisingly, it was the first result. I was very surprised that happened. I knew I was going to have to like go to their website, find the app link, but a generic name came up. So I downloaded it. First thing, their icon is a black icon with this kind of circle in the middle that's a couple different colors. It looked like it was, the circle is like the same as the update circle that happens when you're updating an app or when it's downloading.
Oh, really?
So I was like, why is this still downloading? Like, it's been at least a few minutes.
The progress bar.
Yeah, the progress bar. Their icon looks like it's still in progress loading state. So that's my first nitpick with it. You go in to set up your card. It gives you a couple options. It says that you can plug in the headphone jack and swipe so that it can like read the numbers. It says that you can take a photo. They have this really weird UI with a bunch of buttons that don't really make sense. Like you can take a picture. There's this weird thing where you can adjust color, but I don't know what it does. And so I took a picture, and then it has you, instead of having like a passcode for the app, you have to type in a like weird, like Morse code type code to unlock it, like long press, wow, short press type thing.
This is super complicated.
That's it. Like this thing, it's cool, but the UI, I just don't get it. Like, I ended up having to manually type in all the information for my card because the picture wouldn't work and scanner wouldn't work. So once I type in all the manual stuff, then it says you have to swipe your card so that it can verify. So I swiped my card and it didn't work. And then I swiped it the other way and it didn't work. So then I flipped it over and I swiped it and it didn't work. And I swiped it the other way and it didn't work. And so then I like finally, just after like 10 times, I finally got it to pick up the swipe from the reader, and it's like, okay, things are set up. So setup process is really difficult. Lots of confusing UI. Didn't really understand what I was doing. Seems to work. So then I go to make my first purchase with the thing, and I pull it out of my wallet, and I hand it. And as I see that I'm handing it to the cashier, it says lock on it, and I'm like, oh fuck, was I supposed to like do something to unlock it so that they can use the card? Like, but then he swiped it, and I was like, ugh, I'm going to have to do this awkward thing. We're like, oh, sorry, that one doesn't work. Let me use this other one.
Yeah.
But it went through, surprisingly. It worked. And
did you pick a default?
Well, I only have one card in there.
Okay.
That's the, yeah, I'm kind of too scared to add another one because that's my problem with the thing. It's cool, but it's very confusing. I read the reviews in the App Store, and God, it's terrible. It has like a 1.5 star review. Ugh. Because everyone's like, it doesn't work. And so I've used it a few times. It's worked. I haven't had the gumption to use it at a restaurant because I don't know what will happen if like it goes far enough away from my phone and then they try and swipe it, and I don't want to deal with the waiter being like, oh, your card doesn't work or whatever. So I've been leery about using it just because I don't have the confidence in it because I don't really understand how the thing works.
So it's funny, you're using this to just for one card, but it's like that kind of defeats the purpose. It's made for like multiple cards for one. So that,
well, see, I could put multiple cards on there, but I don't really know. Like, I'm not confident on if it will work or not.
I feel so bad for this company. They didn't know what was they clearly didn't know what was coming, and the delays didn't help it. I feel like if they met their initial goal, which was, I would say, at least a year before Apple Pay was announced, maybe even more, this could have gained some type of traction and gained some type of popularity. But I mean, it seems all but doomed at this point that the coin can survive.
So, after my shiny toy is meh, how's your new shiny toy?
It's definitely a lot better than your review, that's for sure. let me give you a little background about why I got the Amazon Fire TV stick. So, me and my wife love to watch Seinfeld and have it on while we go to bed. We'll let it run all night. We're the type of people that like to fall asleep with the TV on. And, you know, before this Fire TV stick came to light, in my bedroom, I had just, like, this old laptop rigged to, like, you know, like a DVI to HDMI adapter and then a separate audio jack that plugged into it. And it was kind of just a mess just to get things streaming. And when Seinfeld came to Hulu at the end of June, that was what really sparked me to get this, because you can get the Hulu app on the Amazon Fire TV stick. It has an autoplay feature, unlike the Apple TV, which I find ridiculous. Apple TV's Hulu app doesn't have autoplay to the next episode.
So annoying.
Yeah, like, it's absolutely, like, Netflix even introduced it. And so that was kind of the reasoning behind getting it. So I ordered it before 4th of July weekend, and then it came into my office on Monday after 4th of July. Let me start with the packaging. So first off, you could see that Amazon has taken a lot of cues from Apple packaging. I thought the packaging was pretty minimal. I thought it was really nice the way it was packaged. You would, if you were closing your eyes and you opened up this device, you would initially think that it could be an Apple device until you touched the product itself. You know, it is still a cheap plastic remote, and the stick is cheap plastic, and you know
that just sounds like Amazon.
Yeah, and you know. It, the hardware is really not what you're getting it for, so I can look past it. But that was my initial reaction. I'm like, ooh, this packaging is really nice. It feels Apple-like. And then I felt it, and I was like, this is where Amazon and Apple differ. So the unit's pretty small. I mean, it plugs directly into HDMI. What's nice is Amazon supplies a little HDMI extender, so you can't stick it directly to the TV. And then you have a USB cable that goes into a little wall wart. The wall wart's nice and small. It's tiny. You can really...
A what?
A wall wart.
Wall wart?
That is a nickname for the little charger that you plug into a wall. A wall wart. WART. Maybe you're not familiar with that terminology. Sorry.
Maybe that's one of those Long Island terms.
No, I'm not even on the line. So yeah, you plug it into that. Okay, couple great things right off the bat. You plug it in, you go to whatever HDMI input, and the way the Fire TV stick like sets itself up for the first time is there must be some kind of unique identifier coded into the remote. So what happens is you plug the Fire TV stick in and it says looking for remote, and it finds the remote. Now, I can only assume that it's using Bluetooth technology to connect to the remote. It's definitely not Wi-Fi, that's for sure. And I'll get to the remote a little bit later. So it connects and it finds your remote. And what I wasn't expecting to happen was it brought up this little intro tutorial video with like this animated guy, and he was speaking, giving you the tour, and it was actually pretty good. It was, you know, it was a short video. I want to say it was like 2 minutes long, but it basically explained everything about the Amazon Fire TV stick and how to function and how to use it. Now, before I continue on, one thing that people may ask is why I went TV stick versus TV. I actually went to the comparison page before I went to purchase one, and believe it or not, the Fire TV stick has almost everything that the Fire TV has. The main differences is the Fire TV, the bigger set-top box, that could do hardwired Ethernet. It also has an extra gigabyte of RAM, and that RAM gives it some capabilities to do more gaming. But I did not get this for gaming. I mean, I don't even know if I'll ever download a game to the Fire TV. But that's the reason I went with the TV stick. So after the tutorial's done, it was really just getting things set up. So I thought like Netflix and Hulu would have been already on there, but I forgot that Amazon Fire TV stick is kind of an Android skin device. So you have to like download these from the App Store. So you download like the Netflix app, the Hulu app.
That I have a question on. So which app store is it? Is it the Android, like, Google Play, or it's this separate, like, Amazon app store, right?
Yeah, it's their separate Amazon app store. They don't call it the Amazon app store. They just call it app, you know, apps. And that, but, yeah, this is an app store that's curated specifically for apps that are compatible with the Fire TV stick. The speed on this thing, puts Apple TV to shame. It's like, it's sad how much faster
everything nowadays does.
Yeah, like, you know how on the Apple TV when you're clicking the up and down arrows, there's actually when you click it and you hear the physical click on the remote, the noise in the TV and the movement is delayed. They're not instant. Yep. With this, like, literally the moment your finger touches the button to go up, down, left, or right, you get instant feedback. You would not be able to see a delay in feedback. So that's really, really awesome. Couple things that that are a little red flags. So we were using the Netflix app, and I signed in, and my wife wanted to watch Orange is the New Black, and I'm like, let's test it out. So I put it on, and I pick the episode that she was on, and it loads, and then the app crashes. And I was like, oh God, what am I in for here? I'm like, what am I in for here with this Netflix app? For some reason, I don't know if it was that particular episode, but the app was just acting weird. It doesn't seem I didn't see that happen with Hulu or Crackle or any of the other apps that I downloaded, HBO Go and such. So maybe it's just a bug that Netflix needs to fix. I mean, there was a workaround. Like, it was weird. If you selected the episode from one menu, it played, but if you selected it from the other menu, it crashed. But like, I was thinking to myself, like, me being the nerd and the troubleshooter, like, I can, you know, figure that stuff in those workarounds out. But for the normal consumer, that's a really bad first run experience.
Especially on Netflix.
Exactly.
Like, the thing that everyone bought it for.
Yeah, I mean, that's really one of the main reasons you're purchasing it. And that's really the main thing that I feel like the Apple TV has on these other ones is, people complain about sometimes with Apple TV grabbing stuff from the iTunes store. But when it comes to like Netflix and Hulu and anything like that, it's always been rock solid for me on the Apple TV. So, I've only been using it for about 4 or 5 days, so I can't really say how buggy it is, but I could just say that right now in the 4 or 5 days that I've been using it in certain apps, it just seems like the Apple TV is better at the actual act of streaming it. And it seems like the apps are more stable. And I guess it makes sense because Apple has so many restrictions on how the app is built versus Amazon really doesn't. Each app can have its own unique layout. So that may be an advantage for Apple as more stable applications. And then I guess the last thing I wanted to touch on is the remote. So
that's what I was going to ask you about.
it's such a joy to not have to have a line of sight remote, where meaning with the Apple TV, if your Apple TV is hidden or you can't reach it with the remote, you can't do anything. And it's funny, I have picked up these weird habits. All right, so when I stream something on the Apple TV, I mean, I usually kind of just fiddle around with the Apple TV remote in my hand. And I have these weird habits where I'll like, since I know it's a line of sight device, I'll point it away from the Apple TV, kind of like point it at me, and I'll just kind of click around with the buttons because I know they won't do anything. So, I didn't realize that this was like a real ingrained habit. So we put on an episode and I was kind of fiddling the same thing with the Fire TV stick, and I kind of pointed it towards me, and then all of a sudden I start clicking buttons and everything like flipped out. Everything like stopped and went to the home menu. Things were clicking all over the place. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot that you can use this remote. Like, you can use this remote in the other room. It's gonna pick it up. I am impressed. I'm very impressed. I actually think Amazon can do, I think that they could do a pretty good 2.0. I mean, I have a feeling that might be coming soon. So, but for a device that I can just use to stream Hulu, it's really nice.
How's the voice thing? It has voice search, right?
That was the other difference. The Fire TV box comes with the voice remote. So the Fire TV stick comes with the remote, and it's funny. You can pay for the voice remote separately for $30, but the whole entire Fire TV is $39.
What?
So it's like, yeah. So you can pay for the Fire TV for $39, and then say you want to get the voice remote, it's an extra $30. But Cody, you can download the Amazon Fire TV app for iPhone and use they have built-in microphone there, and I did test that out, and it's great. The fact that you can just search anywhere and it brings up the service that has it, it's brilliant.
That's what I want from Apple so much. Just waiting.
You just pick you think of a movie, you're not sure what service is on, you just say it. I don't even care if Apple puts it as the top result to buy it from iTunes first, but the fact that you could say like, oh, I want to watch Goodfellas, and you say that, it could say, all right, buy it for iTunes for $19.99, but then list all the other places that have it, because if it's there for streaming, I mean, it's really a no-brainer thing. And that was the other thing I pointed out in my case for the Apple Home article. It's like, is this next Apple TV going to just meet the kind of what all the other boxes are doing? Because if that's the case, I mean, yes, it'll be good, but I feel like Apple needs to do something beyond that. I think they need to kind of meet the requirements that are all the other streaming boxes are doing, but also bring it that one step further, because they've had so many years to develop it.
So have you liked Apple Music?
Well, you know what? I want to hear your opinion first, because I don't listen to music as often as probably you do. So because I have such a large podcast queue. So how do you like Apple Music, Cody?
Well, I actually am really enjoying it. I haven't used a streaming service like Spotify or Beats or RDO. So it's kind of nice to have finally a streaming service. I mean, I think one of the biggest reasons I didn't like this a streaming service like Spotify or RDO was the double app problem of, if I wanted to listen to music and, oh, it's not streaming, or I know I have this song, I want to listen to a specific album that I have, I would have to always go back to the music app. And that's why I kind of just, none of those services ever lasted. And now I just love how everything's in this one app. If I want music, I just open up music and everything's there. I guess starting like, so there's five things. There's the For You New Radio Connect My Music. Really, I don't ever go into My Music anymore. I just search. I don't really use Kinect. I mean, I've looked at it a couple times, but it's turning out to be Ping, and I found no use from it. Like, I go in there, I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool, but if I'm just looking for like a stream of information, I'll open up Twitter. How much have you listened to Beats One?
I listened to the premiere when it launched at noon my time, and I listened to it, you know, scattered throughout the day. And you know what? It depends on the time of day. Sometimes I visit Beats One and it's got a good mix on, and sometimes I'm just not interested. I mean, they play a couple songs in a row and none of them really suit my tastes. And you know, I'm kind of a bit of a curmudgeon when it comes to discovery and new music. I don't know if you felt this way, but when you're growing up, I feel like that's when you really develop your musical taste. But then once you become past the age of 22 or past that.
Well, I hit 23, so I can't really speak to that.
Well, I feel like you gather this music collection and this group of artists, and you kind of just want to listen to that group. Like I have my favorite artists, and I kind of want to listen to just those things. So when it comes to discovery, don't get me wrong, there's sometimes I find certain gems and such, but I don't know. Beats One is, in my opinion, I'm not a huge fan of it, but on the contrary, everyone seemed to adore it on the day of launch. People could not stop tweeting about the radio station. What about you?
So I Beats has become the, I can't find anything else to listen to, and I can't really think of anything that I want to listen to in my library, so let me just put this on. I've done it a few times. I do it probably a couple times a day, and I'll listen, and if it sounds interesting, I'll keep listening, and then sometimes I go on, and it's like, man, I do not like this, whatever they're playing, and I'll just skip it. But I think the times that I have stuck around and listened, I've heard really interesting music that, one time I got on and they were playing some song that's, really popular in India right now, and I thought that was really cool. And I like that I can just hear completely new things that I definitely would never find on my own or that iTunes would suggest because it's completely outside of all the other music that I have. So I like that discoverability to be there. One of the really cool things is that, you can go back and see what they played throughout the day.
Yeah.
So if, you can go and look at the playlist from the 2 to 3 o'clock hour and see what they played and listen and see if you like anything. Because then maybe you start to, I think that's cool because if you know that Beats always does top 40 or whatever, or top 100 worldwide or whatever at a certain time, you can go back and look and be like, oh, what did they play today? Because that's my favorite time to listen to Beats and I couldn't listen to it today, so let me go back and look. I think that's really cool.
I really like the new curation for the radio stations, because I don't believe they call it iTunes Radio anymore, but besides from...
Nope.
Besides Beats Radio itself, just this, you pick an artist and you say, I wanted to build a radio station beyond it. I could see a huge difference because I remember when iTunes Radio came out, I picked a particular artist and it seemed like they wanted to shuffle these same similar artists, but they weren't really my taste. And then the other day, I picked an artist and the songs that it was picking were not related artists from today. It was related artists from that year, and it was great because it was bringing me back to the early 2000s, and it was playing all these hits that I haven't heard in a long time, and I was like, wow, this is what I really like. Whatever kind of algorithm / curation that they're using for just, standard radio stations based on a song or an artist, that really impressed me.
So what about the new tab? I haven't really spent much time in there. I mean, I think I've gone in there a couple times. I go in there for the playlists to get the Apple editor playlist and the activity playlist to just kind of see what they have. And those playlists have been all right, but that's the only reason I go in there. I don't think I have really found myself looking at the new things that are out. What about you?
Yeah, I don't find myself going into any particular tabs the most. Like you said, it's mostly just searching for an artist and then taking it from there. And whatever tab that brings me into, great. One thing that I pointed out in an article about my initial thoughts is I wouldn't say the UI is super confusing, but there's a lot of digging into large menus and submenus of things that I feel like they need to tidy up.
Okay, yeah, I'll address that. But I have found, I love the For You tab. It's actually been really great. Like the playlist that they suggest in the For You tab, I usually end up listening to that throughout the day, picking one of those, and it will refresh in the middle of the day, so I'll have whole new selection. I've really enjoyed the For You tab and just the playlist that they come up with based on artists, or like, you know, the deep cuts or the intro to, or just, you know, some random activity. I've really liked the For You tab. Now, you saying like the UI problem, that is the complaint I have about Apple Music, is there's so much in this app. There is so many interactions, and it's all hidden behind pretty much a hamburger menu. You know, like you click on something and then you have it. It's pretty much what it is. Like, they just have so much in the app. But that's also, I think, what I've really come to like about Apple Music, is now that they've opened up the iTunes library and you have all of these streaming options, you really can just go in and be like, I want to listen to some music. I don't really care what it is. And Apple Music will present you with so many options that something will pique your interest. Like, there's so much just content in it that's available and quick to get to that wasn't like that before with music, or even just in the iTunes store going to buy music. It was hard to find just music to purchase. And now I feel like there's just so much.
So it's only been out for, 2 weeks, maybe less. Do you have an idea if you're going to stick with it beyond the 3-month trial?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I just love that I have one app for my music and anything. I find myself just adding, if I like a playlist that they suggest in For You, I just open it up, like it, and add it to my collection, so then I can go back and listen to that playlist. I've really enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, the verdict is still out for me. I'm not sure. I'm definitely still using it actively, but I'm trying to balance that with, you know, listening to podcasts.
I have two more things. So one thing that has been annoying me is that I can't like the songs on my Apple Watch. The now playing watch glance on the Apple Watch doesn't have the little heart, which is super annoying because I've been hearting just everything. If I like the song, heart, because I want the suggestions to get better and better for the music I like. But I can't do it on my Apple Watch. So every time I hear a song, I have to pull my phone out.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, this is what, you know, I have to pull my phone out of my pocket. That's ridiculous. That's what I bought this Apple Watch for, is to, you know.
Yeah, like, you can use Force Touch. You can, there's so many ways you can incorporate that. That's crazy.
I think it's just waiting for a software update. But we haven't gotten it yet. I have one more thing, and this is another reason why I really like Apple Music, and I think like why I just held out was for things like this, of the complete integration now that Apple has control over it all. I was sitting in the break room, we're all just kind of, you know, having a cup of coffee, and some music's playing over the speakers, and I heard it, and I was like, man, I know this song. Who is this? I think it's the Decemberists, but I'm not sure. And so I just lift up my phone. I'm like, hey, Siri, who is, you know, what song is this? It finds the song, sees that it's the Decemberists. I can tap it. It opens up an Apple Music, add to my library. It was super seamless, and it was great. It was like, oh, I have this entire album now. When I go back to my desk, I'm just going to listen to this album.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Siri could identify the song via Shazam, but not until Apple Music could it just, you know, as easy, just say, all right, it's in your library, it's ready to listen. You know, you can kind of right then and there. There's no, like, it's not like with, you know, if you had to buy the individual track, then you would have to use some kind of purchasing or lay down your fingerprint. It's just there.
So little things like that I've been really enjoying. I think the only bad thing about Apple Music is there's so much in the UI that the UI is, it's a little hard to find things sometimes. It's usually hidden behind a dot, dot, dot menu, and then you get, like, a huge menu list to choose from.
So, iOS 9 and El Capitan, public betas, they released today. I don't know if you've tried.
Did you get both?
No. So, I am, as we podcast currently, my iPad is updating to, or I hope it's updating, I hope I don't come back to it and it has the, like, the Connect to iTunes logo, but it's updating to the iOS 9 public beta. El Capitan, I am going to do it, but I didn't have the time. I'm going to partition off a part of my my drive, and I'm going to load it on there, because from the people who've been on both betas for the developer betas, because I think they're on developer beta 3 for both, Capitan is from what I heard, was stable even in the first build. It's been really, really solid. And
people were complaining about Apple's bugginess.
And I listen, I know I don't have an iPad Air 2. I know I can't do split screen, but after this podcast, I look forward to playing with slide over and kind of testing that out and looking at the new app switcher. I think it's not worth, I really don't, unless you're a developer, I really don't think it's worth putting iOS 9 on your carry phone. Because it just, the features aren't really there for it, or the features aren't so juicy that you have to have it now. That's why I'm putting it on my iPad, because I use it, but it's not something that I use every single day and rely on.
Depend on.
Yeah. What about you? Are you going to put anything on your devices?
I am going to wait for the verdict to come in. I haven't seen enough talk about it on Twitter to confirm or deny my decision. I think I'm just going to hold out a little bit longer. If anything, I probably will, if I hear good things that the iOS 9 beta is fine, I probably will go with that, because I want the news app.
I know. Well, listen, this
that's
this,
what I'm excited about.
This week, I'll be sure to take notes, and next week's show, I'll give you kind of my full review of how iOS 9 public beta 1 is on the iPad Air. So I look forward to kind of just exploring it throughout the week, and maybe I'll bring it to work with me and use it more just to kind of get a feel of the new OS.
Yeah, and El Capitan, I'm just kind of like, whatever, I'll wait. I don't see any reason. The new beach ball, that's about it. I think that's the only thing I'm like, like, when it comes, I'll be excited, but I don't want to go through the beta hassle for not that big a payoff, I don't think.
So one last thing before we wrap up. This was really interesting. Apple, they are offering their design skills to third-party accessory makers that sell their products within Apple retail stores. I found it a little funny to begin with, but I've been looking at some of the packaging that 9to5 Mac has put up, and it definitely seems like the packaging is a lot nicer than what was originally there, specifically like the Tech 21 case. Because I remember buying that Tech 21 case for my iPhone, and I wouldn't say it was a badly designed case at all, but it didn't fit with the Apple retail store aesthetic. And now it's in this, this pure white case, very minimal font, and I enjoy it. I think it's great. I'm a little shocked that third parties not allowed it, but agree to do this, because I'm wondering, like, okay, so Apple approached them most likely. Like, who's paying?
Most likely, Apple was, like, so over everyone's third-party, like, packaging clashing with their designs. I'm sure this was, like, a plead from Apple of, like, please let us do this. Your cases don't match our wood and stone floors. Can we please change your packaging?
I'm just curious who's paying for this. I mean, this requires,
I'm sure that Apple subsidized it at some point, but I'm sure it's just normal packaging for them. Heck, it's probably cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. It's just, you got to get all the materials. You have to ramp up the factory and, bring it. These are now specially packaged products for the Apple store.
So are they going to do it for, like, all third-party products?
That was unclear. I don't know if they're forcing all third-party accessories. I don't know if that was actually clear in the report, but if that's the case, I'm totally okay with it.
That will really be interesting to see if they actually convince all, like, the deal for getting into the Apple Store is having Apple-approved packaging.
I mean, and from the pictures, it seems like Apple just wants everything to be white. They just want every single packaging to be white. but, you know, that's Apple retail for you. I'm just glad that they're constantly trying to innovate the retail kind of layout and design. And
have you seen the new, like, wood displays for the cases and the headphones?
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. Upper East Side. I have yet to step foot in the store, but I've seen a ton of photos.
Yeah, I've only seen photos. It looks so pretty.
It's very pretty, and what came out recently news-wise is Apple wants to redo all stores in that beautiful wooden design. Also, not just that, like if you look at the Upper East Side store, they have this nice crown molding, these nice ceilings, and it turns out that the Fifth Avenue store, the Cube, they are closing down for renovations next month. They're moving into FAO Schwartz, which just shut down right next door. So they're going to move into there temporarily, and they're going to apparently give the Fifth Avenue Cube the same, the downstairs, the same redesign that the Upper East Side store received. I'm also curious, the Queens Apple Store is going to open up this Saturday, and I wanted to be there for the opening, but I got to do something. But I'm probably going to visit there soon, and I'm curious to see if they're introducing any of those wood elements in like the mall store environment, or is just something that they're doing in like a flagship.
It's a different wood than like the tables wood, which I found really interesting. It's like really darker.
Yeah, it's darker. I feel like there's more grain in it. It's beautiful.
I think it's because they probably ran out of the wood that they made their tables from. They can't grow enough trees like that anymore.
It just seems a little more sophisticated, especially if they're going to be selling more high-end products like the gold Apple Watch and stuff like that. It just seems like a nicer place to shop in. And
it reminds me of like a luxury furniture store.
Yeah, it just feels less cold, and you know, Apple stores have been very like granite floors or granite like floors and aluminum and glass, and this is now kind of putting a little more nicer nature touch to it. So, Cody, you have anything else before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it for me.
This was a great show. I feel great to be back.
It's good to be back. Sorry we missed last week, but happy to be back. And if you want to follow any of the links or any of the things that we talked about on this episode, it's going to be at diagnosticsandusage.com/25, or in your podcast app, the show notes should show up fine there.
So Cody, where can people find you on the internet?
At CP Coates on Twitter. And what about you, Joe?
At Joe Caiati, CAIATI on Twitter, and I write at joecaiati.info. And I actually bought the .com domain, so say you just feel like you want to type joecaiati.com, feel free, it'll redirect you.
There we go. All right, thank you very much for listening. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can reach out to us on Twitter, or if you want to leave a review on iTunes, that'd be great. Or you can leave us a comment on our website, diagnosticsandusage.com.
Have a good night, Cody.
Bye.